Now the verse number 7 and 8 will chant together, which then if you say, well, you know, you say that there is only space, there is only Brahman, the world is an illusion, but I see the world. How is the world created and what happens to this world when it is created and when there is dissolution? Bhagwan Sri Krishna explains it very beautifully. What is his connection with this visible world, what we call as Prakriti? So verse number 7 and 8, we can chant together. Sarva Bhutani Kaunteya.
Sarva Bhutani Kaunteya.
Prakritim Yanti Mamikam.
Prakritim Yanti Mamikam.
Kalpakshaye Punastani.
Kalpakshaye Punastani.
Kalpadau Visrijamyaham.
Kalpadau Visrijamyaham.
Yeah, you can mute please and we'll all chant together. Sarva Bhutani Kaunteya. Prakritim Yanti Mamikam. Kalpakshaye Punastani. Kalpadau Visrijamyaham. Also verse number 8, Kusum please. Prakritim Swamavashtabhya.
Prakritim Swamavashtabhya.
Visrijami punah punah.
Visrijami punah punah.
Bhuta gramamimam kritsnam. Avasham prakritir vashat.
Avasham prakritir vashat.
Together, you can please mute. Prakritim swamavashtabhya. Visrajami punah punah. Bhuta gramamimam kritsnam. Avasham prakritir vashat. So what is this creation? Bhagwan tells us, Sarva Bhutani. Bhutani means all beings, animals, birds, plants, everybody. Kaunteya, O Arjuna, Prakritim Yanti Mamikam. They come to my Prakriti. Mamikam, my Prakriti, Yanti. They come when? Kalpakshaye, when the Kalpa ends. What is Kalpa? Kalpa is, we'll talk about it when we come to that, but Kalpa is the one cycle of creation, what is called as one day of Brahmaji. So Kalpakshaye, so when the Kalpa ends, all beings come to me, to my Prakriti, and then Punatani, Punastani, and then again all of them Kalpadav, when the new Kalpa starts, Visrajamyaham, I send them forth. So at the end of the Kalpa, they all come to me, and in a new Kalpa, I send them forth again. And then Bhagwan says, Prakritim Swam Avashtabhya. It is my Prakriti. Prakriti is inert. This nature that is creating this whole universe is inert, but it is my Prakriti Avashtabhya, and I animate it. I am the one that gives life. Do everything, whatever, our body, mind, intellect is inert. This, all the beings are inert, birds, plants, insects, fish, everybody is inert. It is I who give life to them. And then what do? I give them life and visrijami punah punaha, again and again. So this cycle starts, again a new kalpa starts, again the cycle starts, then again at the end of the kalpa, they come to me. And bhuta gramam imam kritsnam. All this imam, this entire bhuta grama, all this collection of beings, kritsnam, all of them, how do they come and go? Avasham prakrite vashat. They come helplessly, they come and go under the influence of Prakriti. So are we helpless? So let us see. Bhagwan will tell us, or Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary will tell us. So all beings come to me at the end of Kalpa, then I send them forth again, and it happens helplessly again and again. So this is not the first cycle, not the first Kalpa. There There have been many kalpas before, and there will continue to be many of creation. So creation and dissolution. So creation and dissolution happens every day. Like my day's karmas are ended. Karmadav, you know, when the karmas, adav, in the beginning of my karmas, I wake up and then I start my day. And kalpakshay, and when my karmas end, then I go to sleep. So I have karmas for this day. I had decided, okay, today I will do this, this, this and this. So I finish it. And then I say, okay, it's done, and I go to sleep. Or if for some reason I couldn't finish, then I continue them tomorrow. Okay, I had to do my taxes, but I could not finish, so I go to sleep. And so similarly, each day our karmas end, and then a new karma start next day. Similarly, at the end of our life, when my life ends, when my body I drop, and death, what we call as death, then this jiva, the individual being, drops his or her body and goes to other worlds. They could be higher or lower worlds depending on our karmas. And so that is called the end of this life, end of this body. So that is called kshaya of this body. And then new body, adav. And then when a new body is to be born, then I enter the mother's womb and then I start my new life. And what is a kalpa? Kalpa is also called as the day of Brahmaji. Now we know there are four yugas: Satyug, Treta Yug, Dwapar Yug, and Kali Yug. So Satyug was when all the good, they were mostly good people, and then Treta Yug was when Ramchandra Ji was there, Dwapar when Sri Krishna was there, and Kali Yug when we are now living. So these four yugas keep going in cycle: Satyug, then Treta, then Dwapar, and then Kali Yug, and then again Satyug starts. So it goes on and on. So four of these yugas, Satyug, all four together is called one eon or one cycle. Thousand such cycles, when thousand times it's happened, Satyug, Treta, and each of these, when you total, is 4.2 lakhs, you know, 420,000 years, 4.2 million years, sorry, 4.2 million years makes the four yugas, and a thousand of such is 4.2 billion years. So that is said to be a day of Brahmaji, and after that happens, this whole universe goes into dissolution, and then everything remains in absence, in unmanifest form. And then when the new yuga starts, then Brahmaji sleeps for a thousand, for a 4.2 billion years, for a thousand yugas, that many yugas, 4,000 yugas, that's one kalpa. Right. And then again, then a new Brahmaji manifests and the universe starts again and again. So this is the creation and dissolution. And they say this happens not only in the individual, but happens in the totality. So when the individual me is created, then I function through my vasanas, the consciousness, through the individual vasanas, and the individual being arises, whatever my name is, Komal or Shaku or Gulshan, my name and form I take, male, female, all of those. So similarly, when the total consciousness functions through the samashti, through the total prakriti, it is called Ishvara. It is called Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, the creator, sustainer and destroyer. So they are the ones that create this universe, functioning through Prakriti, functioning through Maya, which is the creative power of the Lord. This whole universe manifests is by Brahmaji. It is sustained by Sri Vishnu. And then Lord Shiva then takes us when it is time for dissolution. But it is a creative dissolution, because as things are dissolved, more and more things are born. Just as a fruit dies, a seed is born. And the seed dies, a new plant is born. So when death of one is the birth of another. So they say, well, if everything happens at the end of kalpa, I'm going to God anyway. Then why bother? Why sit in the morning and meditate? And why go to all this knowledge? And why do people spend so many years studying and go to Bombay, do 2-year course? We are going to go to God anyway at the end of pralay. But they say the difference between us and the enlightened master is that we go into that pralay, but we stay for 4.2 billion years. And then again, you have to start your journey. And all your vasanas, whatever you had, you carry them. They don't disappear anywhere. Whatever your karmas, everything, the little computer chip remains. And you start your new journey again with all of those. So why go through that? And 4.2 billion years, you have to sit somewhere and finish it in this life itself. So that is why Bhagwan says, reach me in this life itself. Study the Bhagavad Gita and become one with me. So that is called going to God. There's a very, very beautiful story I was listening. It's a little long story, but it really explains this whole creation very well. This Rishi Markandeya. This part of the story everybody knows, where I have also covered before in the Gita class, where his parents were great devotees of Lord Shiva, and they pray to Lord Shiva for a child, and Shiva appears and says, either you will have a brilliant child of 16 years or an ordinary child who will live 70, 80 years. So they say, we want a brilliant child, we don't want ordinary. So they have Markandeya, and from childhood he's brilliant and he memorizes all the Vedas and Upanishads. And then by age 13 and 14, his parents start crying. And so he asks, what happened? Why are you crying? So they say, you know, you only have 16 years to live. And Lord Shiva has only given you 16 years. And he was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. He said, Father, don't worry. Mother, I'll be fine. And so on his 16th birthday, he's holding on to the Shivaling. And Yama himself comes and tries to take him with his noose. You know, he has a noose that he puts around and takes us, that is symbolic, and he tried to take him, but then he was holding on to the Shivaling, that stone symbol of Lord Shiva, and so the noose goes around the little boy, the 16-year-old boy, and the Shivaling, and from the Shivaling Lord Shiva appears, because this is my devotee, and then a battle occurs between him and Yama, and of course Yama loses. And then Shiva says, my devotee, you have to bless him with eternal life. And so Markandeya is said to be eternally alive. And so Markandeya lives through thousands of years, but his life was not wasted because he did so much. He composed the Markandeya Puran, and then in the Devi Mahatmya, so many of the Devi shlokas are his contribution. In the Bhagavad Puran, he has written so much. And he was teaching, he was meditating. So he was a very enlightened soul. Maybe he's still among us, I don't know. But at least then he was. And it is said that once he realized that now the universe is going to end and it's going to be the kshaya of this kalpa, so he approaches Lord Vishnu and says, can I see your maya? I'd like to see your maya. This is a very beautiful story. So Vishnu Bhagavan says, you want to see my maya? Okay. So next morning when he is sitting in meditation, Markandeya, suddenly he sees that all the oceans are rising, all the water, even in the Bible they describe everything will become water. All the water is rising, all the planets, the stars, the moon, the earth, everything is engulfed by water. Everything is gone. There is nothing living, nothing alive. Everything is finished. There's only water, water, water everywhere. And he's still swimming because he has eternal life. So he cannot, you know, he cannot perish. And then in the distance, he sees something and he goes closer. And he sees, it is described very, very well in Bal Mukunda Stotram. He says, Karara Vindena, Padara Vindam, Mukara Vinde, Vini Veshyantam, Vatasya Patrasya Puteshayanam, Balam Mukundam Manasa Smarami. So he says, this poet, this great saint tells us, he says, I see this vision of the baby Krishna, and that's what Markandeya sees. He sees this little baby on a leaf, on a banyan leaf, and the baby is sitting happily in his own joy, very happy. And with his lotus hands, he's holding his lotus feet and he's putting his lotus toe, the big toe, in his mouth. Lotus mouth, and in eternal bliss. And on this leaf, which is the only thing left. That's what they say, the only thing, only two people see pralay. One is Markandeya and one is the Lord, here represented by baby Krishna. And so Markandeya is filled with love for this baby and he wants to go and hold him. The moment he tries to do that, this baby Krishna takes a breath. And he takes a breath and all the waters, all the trillions of gallons go in his mouth, and Markandeya himself is sucked into the mouth of this Krishna. And when he goes inside, and what does he see? All the stars and skies and the beautiful universe and all the earth. And he sees himself sitting in meditation on that hut. His hut is there also. So Bhagavan shows him all that within him. And he sees, and it is said he stayed there for 4.2 billion years. And that's what he thought. The whole kalpa is over. And then suddenly the Bhagavan breathes out, shh, and all the waters come out, and all the earth and the universe. And then he finds himself back in meditation. So in that split moment, whatever few minutes, Lord Vishnu showed him the entire Maya, that this whole universe is in me. It goes into me. When I take an in-breath, the whole universe merges in me. And when I breathe out, then the whole universe appears. So this story tells us that what is creation and what is dissolution. We come out of God and we are here. And then at the end, we go back and then we become unmanifest. So manifest to unmanifest. And when he says, Prakritim Swam Avashtabhya, I animate my prakriti, I control my prakriti. So control, does it mean that God is constantly watching? No, prakriti in our Upanishad is described as a dancer. She's a dancer and a nati, what they call. And then when the Lord appears, then the dancer starts dancing. So prakriti is said to be nature, said to be this creative force, which is made of the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. So just as it is like an autopilot, just as a teacher, like the children are talking and making a lot of noise, but the moment she walks into the class, they all stop talking. She doesn't have to say a word, just her presence is enough to get the class started. So similarly, Bhagavan says, in my presence, prakriti functions. And what is prakriti? Prakriti is sattva, rajas and tamas. The three gunas, sattva is purity and knowledge, rajas is activity, and tamas is ignorance. So the reason we don't see Bhagwan, we don't see God, because our tamasic power is so strong that the God gets veiled. And when we don't see Brahman as Brahman, then we project this world upon it, and then we have all these differences, even though everything is God, but we see all the differences, which is rajas. So tamas is the veiling power, rajas is the projecting power. And what is sattva? Sattva is purity and knowledge. So they say that you should keep increasing your sattva. How do we increase sattva? By knowledge and by practicing the pure values of love, compassion, kindness. So with right knowledge and purity of mind, as the sattva increases, rajas and tamas will become less, just like in a bucket. If there is a lot of leaves and dirt floating around, you keep pouring clean water, eventually all the dirt gets thrown out, the leaves get thrown out. So similarly, as we make our mind more sattvic, more pure, with more knowledge, the rajas and tamas automatically become less. So that is what prakriti does, that it, through the three gunas, it creates the world. And when he says, avasham prakrite vashat, what does he mean by avasham? Avasham means it's not in my control. Why did I take birth? Because I had unfulfilled vasanas. And as long as I have unfulfilled vasanas, I will continue to take birth. As long as I have rajas and tamas, my life will continue. If I make my life more and more sattvic, and ultimately go beyond the three gunas, what they call as gunatit, where these great masters, even the gunas do not affect them. So we have to keep on doing that. And how do I, and I have to reduce my vasanas, make my desires minimal. Why do I have desires? Because I am a karta and I am a bhokta. Because I say I am a doer and I do it. Why do I do it? To enjoy, to get. You know, by doing this, I will get happiness. By doing this, So when I'm doing actions for me, myself and I, just for me and my family, what I'm doing is creating more and more desires, more and more vasanas, and my mind is getting more and more bound. So as I do actions unselfishly, dedicated to the Lord, without the karta bhav, without the doership, and without the enjoyership, that what am I going to get out of it? No. That's why our pledge says, you know, giving more than what we take, you know, so producing more than what we consume. So as long as my life is a life of giving and not of taking, my life is unselfish, to that extent, my vasanas are reduced, my doership is reduced, and that is called evolution, that from monkeys, you know, from plants, animals, we became monkeys, we became humans. Now do not stop here, but continue your evolution, continue your growth till you become one with me, one with Bhagwan. That's what Sri Krishna said. That's why when we are in the presence of all these Mahatmas and saints, all the Swamijis who come, you feel so peaceful, so nice. Why? Because you feel like you are in the presence of God. That's what people used to say when they sat with Gurudev. They used to just, the time used to go, they didn't know where they were or what they were doing, because his presence was so powerful. So that is what Bhagwan says, that this Prakriti is nothing but unmanifest, becoming manifest, and then from manifest, again becoming unmanifest. So what you are seeing is Lord with name and form, just as pot is nothing but mud with name and form. So all of them, all of us are that Brahman, that consciousness with name and form. And we have been given a name, we have been given a form, male, female, young, old, short, tall, whatever it is. But actually all of us are that infinite reality. We just have to wake up to that truth, understand that I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am not the intellect, but I am that consciousness. And when you constantly remind yourself of that, then ultimately that knowledge becomes pakka, becomes strong in our understanding. And then ultimately, when somebody asks you, where are you? I am in God. That understanding. So that is the essence of the two shlokas today, that creation is just a projection. Just as that Markandeya saw in Bhagwan Sri Krishna, in his stomach, the entire universe. And then outside him also, he saw this entire universe. So that is what, that we are in God and we are all outside God, but we're always in God. Even when we seem we are outside, just as we are in space at all times, even when we think that we are in this world, we are in space. So space is the beautiful example that gives us this understanding of what is the world and what is God. Thank you very much. These are beautiful verses. I really enjoyed studying for them, preparing for them. I'm thankful to all of you for, you know, giving me an opportunity to study this. Otherwise, where I would study the Bhagavad Gita? So it is really a blessing for me. We do have time. Thank you. We do have time. So if anybody has any questions, comments, anything you would like to add, please feel free to do that.
I have a question.
Carrie, go ahead.
You know, you hear the phrase to see God, to see the witness in all?
Yes.
Who is seeing God? Who is seeing the witness?
Actually, when you finally see, then you are no longer there. Right now, I think of myself as separate from God, and that is a misunderstanding. So this ego is trying to see God, but ultimately the ego merges into God. So when you finally have that final experience, then there is no seer. Right now, I as an ego am trying to reach God, but ultimately the I has to disappear. Just as Ramakrishna Paramahansa says, the salt doll tried to see the ocean, but when she went to see the ocean, she disappeared in the ocean. So similarly, the seer disappears into that totality. Thank you. That's a very good question.
Thank you.
Does that answer it?
Yes, but I think you have to think about it a while.
Yeah, that's why this Drigdrishya Vivek that Neeru is doing talks about that. Who is the seer? the ultimate seer. I think you are doing the Tuesday class, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so there they are talking in very much detail about the seer and the seen, and so yes, read that book again. I think that's very good. The Tuesday class, whoever doesn't attend, it's very nice. I would encourage you to participate in that. Anything else? Deepthi, you would like to add something?
No, I was just, you know, going to talk about the Drik Drishya Vivek. We just finished that with Ashok. And, you know, you had some reference, even this talk and last talk also about Drik Drishya Vivek. So, you know, that was nice to tie everything together. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I think you had conducted a study group on this, right? On the ninth chapter?
Yeah, the ninth chapter, yeah.
Yeah, but
I don't go in as much detail. You know, the way we do it is we read through the commentary and then as a group we discuss.
Right.
Only thing is there's one person who's the leader. In our study group, it's Ashok who was the leader, but while he was gone for 2 years, I, you know, substituted for him.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, yeah. We also do a study group on Wednesday in Vivek Chudamani, which is like that. By turn, everybody prepares and then... and then that person talks and then everybody discusses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the same way, we do have a study group like that on Wednesday.
That helps a lot.
That helps, you know, for last, this our study group has been going since 1995, so 25 years. And if anybody would like to join, they are welcome. It's very nice. Thank you.
Wednesday.
Yeah, when you have to prepare for the talk, it's actually you who gain so much more.
Yes.
Because the knowledge has to really become... ingrained in you to pass on the knowledge to other people.
Right,
so
right,
it does make a difference when you are in charge of that.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you. That's true.
Sure.
Thank you. Anything else? Anybody else would like to add?
Anilji, you said that when you went for a walk, you felt that way. And today I went for a walk also and was thinking about Akhand Ekarasam Vastu. Satchidananda Lakshanam. And so I was thinking like the trees, the birds chirping, the road, the, you know, the mountains, sun hadn't come out yet, and saying everything is just Brahman, and it, that feeling is, you cannot express it, but I felt the same almost every morning at 5:30 to 6.
Right.
So I just want to, you know, and I keep on chanting that verse, and it just says Ekrasam, Akhanda Ekrasam Vastu.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Very nice. Thank you. That's good. See, that's how you translate these teachings into our daily life, by constantly remembering. That's why they say, na, Shravana Manana Nidhi Dhyasana. Listen to it, think about it, and then bring it into your life. Then only the teaching is useful. Otherwise, it's just, you know, like they say, water just, you know, running over oil and it doesn't stay. But it has to become our knowledge. Then only the knowledge is useful. Otherwise, it's just, you know, just listening, but not imbibing. You don't imbibe that knowledge. But it happens slowly. It's not going to happen. Even we have been listening since 1990 to Gurudev and Swami Tejomayananji and all. It takes a while, but the more you put effort, slowly, the knowledge becomes clearer and clearer. So
see,
please
old
keep.
Impression you have to remove.
Right.
Groove, you have to
right.
Make newer groove.
Right. That's what Neeru says. We have to remove our old impressions, our old vasanas, and substitute them with new vasanas, which is also what they say in Yoga Vasishta. Shubha vasana and ashubha vasana. So the ashubha, the bad vasanas, have to be reduced and the good vasanas have to be increased till ultimately you go beyond both and become one with that, which is who is beyond karya and karyam, beyond creation and creator, beyond that. Kerry, did you have any comment? Yes, go ahead.
I just had one question. When you were on Shloka 6 and you were talking about space, is there a certain relationship between space and the causal body?
No, space has no relation to anything. Space just sustains everything. The gross, subtle, and causal body constitute all the beings. We are all a mixture of the three bodies. The gross body, the subtle body, and the causal body, which are sustained by Brahman, which are sustained by that consciousness. And so space, just as space sustains all the bodies, so similarly the consciousness sustains all of them, but actually has no effect with the causal body. No. It is because of the causal body, which is vasanas, it is because of that that we all take birth. But the causal body is not, does not cause anything. It is the reason for my birth. That's why it's said to be the causal body. It's not the creator. The causal body is not the creator. It is the unmanifest vasanas, unmanifest tendencies, which is the causal body. People think causal body is what caused me to take birth. Yes, it was the cause of my birth, but it's not the creative force. It is not.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just as a side note, you know, when we visited Uttarkashi with Swamiji last time, the temple, Kashi, and not Kashi Vishwanath, but the Shiva temple, the Shivling is not exactly straight. It's a little bit on an angle. So then I asked the Swamiji, and the Swamiji we met there said, you know, why is it like this? You know, and then he talks about the Markandeya. This is where Markandeya hugged the Shivling and had the Shiv had the fight with the Yamaraja.
So the Shivling became crooked.
Yeah,
yes.
Right there at Uttarkashi is
yes.
the story, because even Devi's temple is just
across,
you know.
Right. Yeah,
so
yeah.
There is that story that they had told us about it right there.
Achha, very nice.
So yes. It was just a very interesting piece. You know.
Yeah, thank you. They said there's a Markandeya River somewhere. I don't know. Maybe.
You know, Uttarakhand is full of all these stories.
Right.
Nachiketa Talab is also not too far from Uttarkashi.
Achha.
And all those things. So, you know, yeah. It's just full of all these stories, Puranic stories.
Beautiful. Thank you. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Okay, just we have a few announcements. On Monday, August 3rd, this coming Monday, tomorrow, from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, you can log on to the same link, and we'll be doing...
I sent the link.
And the link has been sent, but the one that they logged in, this one, right? Or is it a different one?
It's a link sent to me.
It is a link sent to you in your email, and we'll be celebrating Gurudev's Mahasamadhi, which is on August 3rd, and when he attained Mahasamadhi. And so we'll be doing Paduka Puja at Gokul from 11 a.m. to 12 noon tomorrow. You can log in and watch. And then... tomorrow evening, there is the worldwide celebration of Gurudev Mahasamadhi. The link has been sent to you in the email. Please check your email. And then next Saturday, which is August 8th, at 10 o'clock, we are celebrating Gokul anniversary. It's there at 10 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
It starts at 10.
Sudarshan Homam.
It starts with Sudarshan Homam. And then also that is the day if you want to register your children for Balvihar, August 8, 9, and then August 15th. 3 days you can register your children between 10 a.m. and 12 noon. We'll also have books and the course materials, what they need. We'll hand out. We'll try to keep all the social distancing and mask and all. Please wear a mask when you come. And we'll keep social distancing so you can stay in your car till you can. It's time for you to sign in. And so you can do that. That will be the next Saturday, Sunday, and the following Saturday. Also, if you would like to sponsor the Sudarshan Homam this coming Saturday, Sudarshan Homam, we celebrate, that is our Gokul anniversary. In 2006, Gokul was started.
14 years.
It's 14 years, Puja Guruji, Swami Tejomayananda Ji is the one who inaugurated it. Also, he had done the Bhumi Puja, the land, the land breaking. So that was done. So that is, it will be 14 years. So if anybody would like to sponsor this Sudarshan Homam, it's a puja that is done by and has great spiritual power, please contact Neeru or Jayashri or anybody, and we will let you know. Komal is and Ajay are sponsoring, and Neeru and I are. But if anybody else would like to, please do that. And Jayashree also is sponsoring, I think. So we have three sponsors. And then also Guruji, Swami Tejomayanandaji, he's doing talks online. We are so fortunate because it's so hard to go to Bombay and listen to him. But he's doing talks online on Hamsa Gita from Friday, 7th of August. And it will be in the evening from 7 to 7:30 p.m. daily, which is our time, Pacific time. But the talks will be online. You can watch them even the next day. You just have to go to Chinmaya channel, go to YouTube and click on Chinmaya channel, and then you will see Guruji's talks on Hamsa Gita, which is beautiful text. I myself have not heard the talks on Hamsa Gita, so I'm looking forward to that. And Swami Swarupananda Ji will be talking, who is the worldwide head of Chinmaya Mission, on Saturday, 8th of August, in the morning, 7 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. on Upadesh Sar. 7 a.m.
to
7:30 a.m. Half an hour talk on Upadesh Sar. This is the Pacific time. So as we said, all of these talks will stay online. If you are not able to listen to them live, you can just click on YouTube and Chinmaya channel, and you will get talks by Swami Swarupananda Ji and by Guruji Swami Tejomayananda Ji.